Hello and welcome to the S Words podcast. This is a special edition that we have, the long-awaited Sad Girls in Snow episode, brought to you from Chicago with Fred Gallagher here and Dominic Nguyen. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm a little tired, but I think we're used to that at conventions.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just recovering from a cold, so I kind of sound like a retired drug user or something like that. So
you sound like Mickey Rourke. It's very
something.
It's
like
very
that.
Classy
so it,
now.
It works. So I'll try not to cough and hack too much during this. But if I do, it's for effect.
So yeah, I've known you for 10 years now. I mean, we've known each other technically longer than that, but we met on IRC, so that doesn't really count.
No, that's right. He's like, oh wow, there's a real person behind that. So. Yeah, definitely one of those instances that, you know, it's like you know people online and in various ways and start big projects with them and do lots of stuff. And, you know, then, oh, you know, after a while, you're like, hey, oh, I might actually meet you in real life. And, wow, this is kind of weird. Let's go back to IRC, you know.
Yeah, we had a question earlier today. It's like, if you went back 10 years and could redo anything about Megatokyo, the webcomic that we work on, it's like, what would you do? And in my head, I'm thinking, Fred's going to say, I wouldn't meet Dom. Wouldn't meet Dom.
Yeah. Well, we all know that you came from Rodney. Rodney's the one who put you. He's like, hey, we're going to have Dom do this. And I'm like, okay, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the nickname, you know, Pyro, which wasn't really a solid nickname that I had at the time. Just was one I was using. And
thanks, Canon.
I got stuck with it. I guess there are worse ones. So
there are definitely worse nicknames to be stuck with.
Yeah, you come across some people, they've got like, you know, Dragon Farts 241, and it's like, are you really sure you want that to be your nickname?
Or, you know, those people in 10 years who will be like, I love Edward 245.
Yeah. It's like, be careful the nicknames you pick. You never know what you're going to get stuck with.
Yeah, my nephew, actually, right now, his nickname is temporarily Reefer, and we're like, we can't let that stick. Reed Fawn Rogers, Reefer.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, we can't let that one stick. And, of course, now that I've said it on the internet, I'm sure it'll try and stick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's just talk about Megatokyo for a while. I mean, 10 years ago, we met for the first time at Anime Central.
Yeah, because Anime Central is, like, one of the closest conventions. In fact, the first anime convention I had gone to years back was I think it was actually the first Anime Central, and this was one. It's like, you know, Megatokyo was starting to roll along, and it's like, okay, well, maybe we'll go to Anime Central. And Dom, I mean, you were just going to be there, or you were going anyway. And
yeah,
like,
I was sort of on a world tour, a national tour at the time of anime conventions.
Yeah, and then you're like, hey, maybe we can get I'll see what I can do about getting a panel set up for Megatokyo. I'm like, okay, sure. And, you know, get to the show, sort of get, you know, set up, do a couple of things. And I think we arrived there the same day as the panel, actually. And,
I think so.
And, you know, I get down there and I'm looking for this thing. This was in the year that the Anime Central was in a hotel that was under construction. So it was
a tiny place,
hard to find anything.
We were in a little back room.
Yeah. So I get down there and it's like, you know, lots of people lined up and just sort of crowded in the hall. And it wasn't because they were all waiting for one thing or another. It was just crowded. So I get down there and I'm like, man, oh, crap. I think this is the room and there's a lot of people inside.
I was the first, like, oh, hey, are you Fred? Hey, I'm Dom.
Yep. Like, oh. And it's like, okay, here's a guy wearing, I don't know what, some sort of ninja
costume
outfit or something. And it's like, okay, all right. Hey, hi, Dom. How you doing? So we stood there and we're waiting. And some people sort of figured out who we were. I guess we're next to us hearing this conversation.
Yeah, actually, one of the people in that audience is now an S Words podcaster, Andy. But yeah, he was actually the one who said, hey, you know, you can come in now. The panel should be starting, and this room is full waiting for you guys.
Yeah, I was just waiting for everybody to get out, you know, because I thought all these people in the hallway were sort of waiting for us. Like, and that's like, you know, if you ever in your life had sort of a sinking feeling, that was a true sinking feeling, because it's like, he's like, crap, this room's like full of people. And what do I do now, you know? I figured that we'd, like, you know, we'd get a couple of people show up and, you know, do a little chat or something. But it was full. It was kind of crazy.
It was full out the door. We were a fire hazard that year.
Yep.
That started a long pattern of being a fire hazard at conventions. We were a fire hazard at Akon that year, me and Rodney. And then we were pretty much a fire hazard for San Diego Comic-Con back when San Diego Comic-Con was a much smaller affair.
Oh, well, yeah.
There were people standing in the back and standing in the side.
Yeah, that was because we were back in that, you know, toward the edges there, and we were blocking a lot of things.
We had a little fringe room.
Conventions either, you know, we've caused conventions a lot of grief over the years. We really have, you know, try not to. It's, at the time, we definitely, and then we're trying, it's like, okay, well, I'm going as fast as I can. I'm still trying to figure, is it, you know, was I slow or, you know, just... We were just stuck in such bad little corners sometimes, but it was always different. It's like that was the first one that kind of scared me, and I think that, you know, I still go into these things kind of scared. So
we are not public speakers by nature, which is funny because we do a podcast, but here we're hidden from the eyes of the world by the internet.
No, you do a podcast. I hide behind my art. It's like I just draw stuff and put it up, and you know, then. Just sort of quietly read the forums and commentary.
It's funny because whenever you're at one of these conventions, you are a machine. You sit behind your booth and people come by and you're like, okay, what's your name? I'm going to draw something for you. Here's your personalized little sketch. Here's my signature. Thanks for coming on out here. You know, what's your story? You know, we'll talk a little bit. And you are a machine. Like, people used to call you the hardest working man in webcomics, which has its ups and downs. So other people also call you the laziest man in webcomics. Mm-hmm. So there's both sides to this argument.
Yeah, I'm still trying to parse how that works. But it's like, no matter how, there's an old saying, you know, work harder, work smarter, not harder. I am forever working much harder than smarter. There's no question that, you know, I can easily say, you know, I've been working on something so incredibly hard, and then, you know, somebody else could probably sit down and do it in like a tenth of the time. So, you know, it's not necessarily the a real benefit to be, you know, the hardest working per se. That may just mean you're just really stupid.
So what got you into that mode, actually? Because you were a very private person when you met me. You're still a very private person, and then when you get out to conventions, you don't necessarily morph into a new person.
Well, I'm the same person, really.
But I mean, you are just so much more social and outgoing and at least sociable.
Yeah, well, and part of it is that, you know, when you get people who are, you know, are coming up to you or they appreciate your work. I mean, one of the things is I communicate with people with, you know, the stuff I draw and the things that, you know, the stories I try to tell. And, you know, that's one way that I communicate. And, you know, you've got people, a lot of people are coming up to you or doing things or they're interested in your what you do. And I can't have enough respect for people who approach me saying, hey, I'm a big fan of your work. I mean, I really genuinely do want to, you know, acknowledge, you know, everybody who I talk to in that respect, because I'd kind of want that to happen for me. I mean, I've got artists or people that I know or have met who I'm incredibly, you know, fond of their work. And it's something to be acknowledged by, you know, there's a little back and forth that happens. And it's really hard to do that when you get a lot of people, you know, after a day, you know, you get a couple hundred people.
Oh, yeah, we used to have lines that would just circle.
Yeah, it was pretty insane, so... But, in the end of the day, you know, you're trying to remember people. I still get people like, hey, do you remember me from X convention? You know, 3 years ago, I did this and I gave you that. And I'm like...
And then you sort of lie through your teeth and you go, yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, sometimes you actually do remember. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, God. What do I do now? So, but mostly it's nice stuff.
You know? I mean, someone came by today and he's like, do you remember me? I'm the snow globe guy. It's like,
well, I thought he said snow blower, and I'm like, I gave you the sad girl and snow blower or something. I'm like, did somebody make some sort of wacky, crazy thing? You know, I'm like trying to parse that. And then when he said snow globe, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. In fact, that's sitting on my desk or one of my shelves or something next to my desk. So, you know, I mean, who knows where some of this stuff ends up? You know, I'm hardly the most organized person in the world. So it just sort of goes into my flow of crazy Nick. Mix-nacks or whatever you want to call it. So,
let's see, what are the craziest things that people have given you? I remember some year people gave you their custom plushes, and like they gave Sarah a bunch of origami paper back during those
little
days.
Origami stars in a Crown Royal bottle. There's somebody gave us a can of coffee one year. I don't know what that was about.
A can of coffee?
There was somebody, it was one of the cons, I think it was Sakura Con, where they asked us what our favorite drinks were. So it's like, oh, I don't know. Next thing you know, they're bringing like six packs of this and like fifths of four or five different alcohols that we can use to mix the drinks. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, I guess. You know, it's kind of like, guys, if we took advantage of this, I probably wouldn't be able to do anything more at the convention. So, there's a lot of crazy things you'll get sometimes,
Yeah, I mean, at this convention, some loon gave me a members only jacket straight out of the 80s.
I know. Who would do that?
Yeah. Oh, it was you. Sorry. Forget about that. Edit this out.
Well, Sarah said to me, hey, we should get Dom a members only jacket, just like he has in the guy. It's like, yeah, we can probably get one. So she dug into it. She found one. And it's like, oh, this is cool.
Cool 20 years ago.
He'll hate us forever if we get him this. So,
Whatever.
Yeah.
I find it amusing. I'll probably wear it and
that's the thing.
Subtly costumize myself.
Yeah, you will wear it. That's the fun part.
I'm a child of the 80s. I know the value of these things.
Yeah, it does. What's funny is there are people in the audience going,
What's a members only jacket? Okay, actually, we should go into one quick thing. So how did the whole Sad Girls in Snow thing start? Was it Ian who started that one?
Let's see. The Sad Girl in Snow was kind of it was originally the meme of, you get the girls from Canada, one of the girls from Canada, and you get the snow falling and all that stuff, and it's a very simple meme to do. And I think I did there's a comic that I did with where Yuki's like, she actually described it. I don't remember if it was exactly the wording Sad Girl in Snow. I think it sort of was. But it wasn't called out like as a term, mm-hmm. That picture, the picture of the girl and the sad girl in snow doesn't have. So I'd have to look up the comic specifically, and then she's writing comments on it. Now where it came, back was in that guest comic that Matt did, and they.
She's not sad enough. Also, add more snow.
Yeah. So they sort of took that bit from that comic and sort of made fun of it from that genre perspective.
And it became associated with you for years.
Yeah, because I know that comic did a pretty good job at picking up on that. That was a fun. When you have a good guest comic like that, it can be pretty interesting.
So does that still sort of follow you around, or is it mostly blown over in the last 10 years?
What, this whole Sad Girl Snow thing?
Yeah.
I think it's a TV trope. So,
is it?
Yeah,
I have to check now.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it is. Sad Girls in Snow is actually a trope. You're probably gonna look that up, aren't you?
I am.
With the power of the internet. Now watch it. It won't be. But I could have swore it was.
Sad Girl in Snow. Enter. Snow means love. Megatokyo television tropes and idioms.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's there. So. So that's another thing to be proud of, is that, you can sort of indirectly, sort of, or directly, or whatever, here's a trope that, and it does describe a certain genre.
The funny thing is that Sad Girls in Snow on here links to Moe, so there you go, huh?
Yeah, so, hey, it works. You can't control where everything goes. All you can do is reference it and maybe try to bottle it and catalog it a little bit and... It's probably like those, those body pillow things. It's like you don't know what people are going to do with it, and you don't really want to know, I think, in a lot of cases. But it doesn't stop you from making a good one, maybe. So who knows?
Oh, man. I should not read the TV Tropes article about us.
See, what's going to happen here is that now that you've got TV Tropes up, we might as well just wrap this up.
I should
go on talking on my own because you're just going to
sit there. I'm closing this. It's gone. It's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
The evil of that. I'm sorry. That's in fact, anybody who's listening is probably like, they're all gone at this point. I probably turned off the podcast and they're over on Tropes. So
I'm just thinking back to that time when someone pointed me to the Encyclopedia Dramatica about us. And it's like, wait, why does the internet like me? I don't get this. What have I ever done that would make the internet? What the heck?
It's like, okay, well, I'll just forget about that.
Yeah. So,
there's a couple of things. I mean, and, you've had it was really weird when the Megatokyo page was a Wikipedia page of the day or.
Oh, man, got so edit bombed.
Well, it had been edit bombed in the past many times. And that's why it was such a good example of a page that worked the way Wiki wanted pages to work. And, it was just crazy, in the end, it sort of does. It's got a lot of little bits and pieces, and I read it and it's like, I didn't know I did that. You know, so you get some little that, but that's wikis. You know, that's Wikipedia. You know, but in general, it catches the spirit of things pretty decently. So
I'm curious, like, what do you think your lasting effect on the internet is? Because a lot of the worst of it is blown over. People who like you, people who don't like you mostly ignore you now. You're in this nice little space of your own on the internet, which is nice. You're not a controversial figure as much anymore. And so what do you think your lasting effect on the internet has been? Now that you can actually look back at it and without that sort of rage goggle effect.
My lasting impact on the internet is exactly the same as anyone else's who thinks that they've had some major impact on the internet. Pretty much negligible. Because in the end, it's the individual person. It's the weight of the masses, whether they're reacting positively, negatively, or you know, independently of, you know, whatever you've done or you've been connected with, to sort of take on the idea that I did X or I did Y. I don't know. It just seems a little presumptuous. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have had a, I guess I would call it a quote unquote presence on the internet for some people who are interested in, you know, web comics who've liked mine or liked it or not liked it or whatever. I think that, it's been unfortunate that I think a lot of people who have found, you know, who read Megatoki, who like it and have talked positively about it have been, you know, hammered pretty relentlessly by people who don't like it. But, you know, I guess that's just the nature of fandom in a lot of ways. So, and I feel bad about it. And I'm the type of person who takes a lot of things personally. A lot of people look at what I do and they think, oh, you're just don't be so hard on yourself. You know, you're just stop being so exceedingly negative. You know, arguably, sure. Yeah, I may be overly such sometimes, but a lot of times it's like I just want to get to the reality of what I am. You know, I don't want to be any thought of as any better or any worse than I really actually am. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm not going to get out there and trash talk and go out about how awesome I am, because I may not be as awesome as I think I am. You know what I mean? So, and at the same time, you know, you don't want to be too negative, because you got to take into account, you know, the positive things that people do see in your work. So, you know, just trying to find the real spot, and that's not easy to find.
What's the line again? A man is judged by the quality of his enemies.
Yeah, that I have heard that before. So,
yeah. Who do you think your biggest enemy is? Yourself?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, that's what you want.
If
you don't want it to be somebody else, you want it to be somebody you know, somebody who you can get your hands on any time of the day, and that's yourself.
So. Yeah, and I'm just thinking, it's like, if your greatest enemy was the internet, what would that say about you? Probably not very many good things.
Well, that's why, you know, anybody who's actually tried to, you know, tear me down or try to troll me directly, I think you have a tendency to get a little frustrated, because it's like, I'm not going to argue with you, you know, about that. You
right.
Know? You know, I get defensive in some ways, but, you know, that's the nature of the net. It's actually, when you consider how sensitive I tend to be, it's like, okay, yeah, go out there and put this stuff out there and try to keep this many more people happy with what you do. Yeah, that's real smart.
I almost looked at the TV Tropes site about us again, and I really have to avoid doing that. It's just not going to end well, and I'm not going to look. I'm not looking.
Yeah. One thing you don't do is, you know, a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm going to do a Google search for me and see what comes up.
Yeah, when you actually have something that's out there on the internet and widely distributed and redistributed, mm-hmm. you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably can find some horribly incriminating pictures of myself from 10 years ago on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, well, you see, here's where I'm actually pretty lucky. And this is something that I'm really concerned for people younger than me in many ways, because you got to remember, I grew up, I went through high school, I went through college, and there are no emails for me until I was like 28, okay? I went through the hard years up to that age where, thank God, there's no record, okay? And, you know, and now it's kind of like, I think I would just die if, you know, I could go back and do searches and find stuff that I posted about myself or other things from when I was like 16. Oh my God. I mean, no, I couldn't deal with that. So I, you know, a lot of the younger people out there who are dealing with that sort of, the retention, you know, the internet retention module or fact, I don't know how you people are going to deal with this when you get older, because if somebody wants to, okay, it's like, oh, well, see, I want to find out what more, a little bit more about this guy I just met. Oh my God. Oh shit. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing I just wonder about.
Man, if people find pictures of my college, oh my goodness, they're on Facebook. Oh, crud. Let's move on. Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing, you know, that's for me with Facebook. It's like, oh, what is this crap about privacy? I mean, I don't put anything on Facebook that I don't figure is all the way out there. I mean, you know, for me and, you know, and even you, I think, you know, when we were doing internet stuff, you know, 10 years ago, it was all HTML and news groups and
IRC channels.
It's out there. It just is. You have no expectation that it's like in any way, you know, private or anything. So that's why for me, you know, I hear this stuff and it's like, well, what's the problem? I mean, you shouldn't be putting anything out. You don't want everybody in the world to know. So,
which is why I'm glad I was born with no sense of shame. It was a very beneficial birth defect.
Yeah. So, well, it's you've put it to good use here and there, and it probably does you real good in the world of podcasting too, I'm sure.
So, I have to censor myself a lot, so it hasn't done me that much good, but it's done all right. Let's see, what else can we talk about? This is the problem with trying to quote unquote interview someone that you've known for 10 years. It's like, it feels like we've already talked about everything. Oh, so, you know, you have a couple things that you want to remind each other of. You have a few things that you want to say, hey, listeners out there, we have this that we have this story that we wanted to tell you. And then you get to the end of it and you go, how do I start my own webcomic?
Yeah, this is the first convention that I've done in about 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I had done so many conventions for a while there that it was definitely starting to get to the point that you'd go and you'd do a question and answer, and a lot of people would ask the same questions. So at least now I know that, if, you know, there's a quite a bit of material that's new and, you know, different readers have come and gone, and, at least the questions have a potential of being except I don't understand why people kept asking us about the zombie apocalypse. What the hell was with that?
That was the strangest thing that came up today. Two people completely independently of each other asked us, so what are you going to do in case of the zombie apocalypse? And that was definitely a new question to us. We haven't answered that one before. Yes, and then the second time it came around, it's like, okay, we've answered this one 2 hours ago, so we have an answer canned now.
Yeah, and we do have an answer, but well, I know that the panel was I know the panel was actually there was a guy who recorded the panel and looked like he was doing a pretty good job of it, and they've done a pretty decent job in recording cosplay and other stuff, so that should be available to view at some point. Didn't you know that?
Well, I knew that part. It's just that I'm just remembering that, what, ASEN 2004 or so panel that we did that Young Wang recorded and put on DVD for us.
Yes.
Was it 2000? It was sometime around then.
I have not been able to watch it.
I can't watch it either. It's not that of a matter of sense of shame. It's just like, it's weird to look back at yourself like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we put on a really strange show. I mean, was that the year that you were in the bunny suit? No, Rodney was in the bunny suit?
I think it was the year after, actually.
Okay.
I think.
Do you still have that bunny suit?
Yes, and I wore it for Halloween last year.
Well, you have a son, so it's a little more explainable.
See, that's the thing. I can actually get away with wearing that now.
When I wear costumes, it's like, oh yeah, that's just him.
Yep. But I've still got it. Still, I don't wear it much, but.
Well, Sarah made it for you, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
So I don't think you're allowed to get rid of it.
Oh no, it's like I said, it actually made a pretty good. Jack had a little kitty suit that was actually very similar, and it was kind of cute. So, pictures, I look like Death Warmed over as usual, but it was fun. Of course, this year he dressed up as a Rent-A-Zilla. Those are some cute pictures. So
you didn't send me those pictures. I need them.
You haven't seen those?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'll send those to you. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
You know,
especially when
pictures.
He's trotting along and he's got the big tail, and then he goes. Falls down and the tail goes straight up. So it's,
you have that? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to share that with you. So yeah.
So yeah, let's go into that. Actually, I haven't asked you too much about this one since I kind of know. How much has having a child affected how you work with this webcomic? I mean, on the one hand, you have that thing where you just you have basically another job again where you're a full-time dad. And then on the other hand, you sort of dedicate yourself more to your work by going, this is, you know, this isn't just about me and my work anymore. This is about my son's future, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And well, when Jack came along, you know, one of the things I wondered about is like, you know, how is this type of thing going to affect, because webcomics are a reflection of a person's life. You know, mm-hmm. they definitely are. And the first couple of, you know, somebody before Jack was born, I said that, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, take a little, you know, couple a week or two off here. Cause you know, when then, but I'll get back to it. Somebody emailed me and said, you know, you really should take a 2-year sabbatical. And I'm like, oh, come on. No, that man was right. Because the first 2 years, they were something. And it's like now he's, you know, as he's gotten a little older, I mean, things are a little easier. In fact, I recently sort of was able to move my where I work out of the house and into our warehouse. So I got a much better separation of what I do. And that's going to have a positive impact on things. It's amazing what I was not able to get done over the past 2 years. And just for the last couple of months, in preparing for volume 6, honestly, I spent a month and a half doing all the crap I wasn't able to do for that those 2 years with, you know, finishing the hatching on comics, finishing up, fixing up comics, fixing drawings. And I look back and it's like, my God, it's amazing I got anything up. But it had a negative impact because you work at home. There's like, well, the first thing you need to accept is that you're not going to have as much time. Because, you know, I used to do these things where I'd like just get into these hyper work modes where I just, you know, pull a 20-hour day, you know, sleep 4 hours and just do nothing but work on things all day. You can't do that when you have a kid. You just can't. And it was really hard to keep the workflow up under those conditions when you work under, that's a typical way that you get things done. So, now as far as, the other side of it, which is how does, having a son, having a kid, you know, impact your work and what you write and what you think and the types of your outlook on life and things like that? Because with Mega Tokyo, there's a lot of, personal philosophy that winds up in there, a lot of metaphysical, whatever the heck you want to call it, a lot of mythology of its own sort of accord. It sort of, you know, becomes, it sort of starts to happen. And, you know, the funny thing is that I found that it actually had a good impact on my creativity. I really have found that. So, you know, I'm not sure, not directly, it hasn't suddenly become a comic about my son, but it does give you an interesting way to look at life sometimes.
Please never become Baby Blues.
No, that won't happen. I will say that there's a few impact. There's a few things that changed as a result, but I'm not going to tell you what those are. I'll tell you what those are later, but I'm not going to. You know, I'll let you know what those are later, and you'll wonder about my mental sanity. But why not?
I always wonder about your sanity. I mean, you know me. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, that's true.
You still talk to me after 10 years.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck do I do to get rid of you anyway? What the heck is this? It's like, oh, God, 10 years, ASEN, Dom again. Oh, God, now he wants to record me for a podcast? Oh, come on.
Hey, podcasting is a noble profession.
That's true. Respect the podcast.
Exactly. Not that we actually, you know, get paid for this or anything. So, yeah.
It's just like
something we do for fun.
Get
yeah.
started, yeah.
Exactly. I think we're pretty much done. We're at a nice little half hour point. All right, so we've got Mega Tokyo Volume 6 coming out from CMX next month, June 2010.
It may be a little, because my deadline for DC for CMX, I blew past that. Just I was not able to get done. So the original release date is definitely not happening because that I think is they'd have to like print it in like 4 days, I think,
okay.
to make that. And that's not going to happen. So it's probably going to be about a month from now or so. And really, I mean, you know, I'll get that information up on the website once I get a solid information from DC when they can get things, you know, the printing done. But yeah, the book is, my part of the book is done. Now I'm a wild, you know, wild card. We don't know when I'm going to finish things, but these guys are professionals. Once they figure out what they need to do, they'll get it done. So yeah, it's coming.
All right, and then you can find our merchandise on the Mega Gear Store. I especially recommend any Dom merchandise you find on there.
We do have some Dom merchandise. Yeah, we don't have any members only jackets. I apologize for that.
Hey, that one's just for me. I'm going to be wearing this thing, and Yeah, you can find us on the web at megatokyo.com. Also, sure. You can find this podcast at s-words-podcast.com. You can contact Fred at piero@megatokyo.com. You can contact us with feedback and suggestions at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/s_words and also twitter.com/fredrin. And wow,
been using Twitter for a long time too.
We've been using everything for a long time. We just jump headfirst into any kind of new technology.
I can blame my Twitter usage on Warren Ellis. So I think we can blame a lot of things on various people if we try. We should try harder to do that.
We should blame more people. That's right.
Yeah, we really should.
So. Instead of blaming ourselves all the time, that's for chumps.
That's getting old.
And for people who are responsible.
I don't want my son blaming himself for stuff. I want to blame other people.
Well, you do realize that your son is going to grow up and he's going to blame everything on you, right?
Well, I've been trying to set things up that way. So
it's
kind of weird. I'm in a position where it's like, yes, that's what I want to happen. Not the other way around. So at this point, he's showing a very healthy outlook on life. So
that's good.
So he's a good kid.
So is there anything last that you want to say to our listeners? And a lot of our listeners actually have come imported from Megatokyo, so they've been waiting to hear from you for a while.
Yeah, well, when you started doing the podcast, I mean, it's, I've got links to, the very, to my stuff and things Megatokyo related. And, with this, I know, even though it's not Megatokyo, we put the, a link on there to S-Words with a little banner. I'm happy to have been able to send some people your way. It's like, well, they know what Dom's like. They read Megatokyo, and if they want more, it's not for me to decide. You can tell I have a net neutrality kind of way of looking at things. And, it's like, I'll let people decide. So I'll put the link up and they can go, and if they can handle the horror and they enjoy that sort of thing.
Hey, you listen.
Yeah. I know it's, yeah. And really, I guess as far as a final word for me, it's been about it's been 10 years. I've been doing Megatokyo for 10 years, and there's it's been a lot of things that have happened, a lot of good, a lot of bad. There's been things have sped up, things have slowed down. Story has become disappointing. It's become interesting. The artwork quality's gone up, it's gone down. But overall, it's those of you who've been reading for any length of time and still enjoy it, I'm happy to be producing it for you, and I'm honored by any and all readers who have read it, either people who read it now or maybe stop reading for a while and come back or never come back, whatever. It's all good. It's a real honor to have people input, take your work, read it, enjoy it. And it's something that a lot of people really want to do.
Yeah, a lot of
I've been privileged to be able to do that for a lot.
A lot of people today came by and they're like, I've been reading you for 10 years. That's a strange feeling. It's like, I've been adding something to their life for 10 years.
Yeah, no, the ones that hurt, though, it's like, I was in elementary school when I first heard of this, and it's like, oh, God. But, hey, it's time goes on, and I'm just real, I feel honored to be able to, and privileged to be able to do this, and I hope to continue doing it.
And hey, it's been a lot of fun being along with the ride for you, being along for the ride with you.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Good night.
Good night. So let's see. I can avoid talking to you now for how long? What did we say?
I think the order is about for one podcast is about 6 months. You can avoid me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you got the paperwork. I'll line up.
All right.
Awesome. All right, dude.